This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, preserve us from the temptation to reduce you down to our size, to simplify your demands upon us, to attempt to rework you so that you are no longer a challenge to us. As in your temptation, you resisted the temptation to be the God we thought we wanted, give us the courage to receive you as the true God we've received. Walk with us these 40 days and enable us to walk with you, so that at the end of the journey, when the cross looms before us, we may not flee, seeking cheap consolation, but rather follow you in all of your marvelous, divine, surprising complexity. Amen. Good morning. How many of you remember the comedian Flip Wilson? He was one of my most famous passengers when I was a cruise director with Clipper Cruise Lines. He used to do a routine called "The Lady That the Devil Made Me Buy That Dress." You remember that? Remember a particular skit when he comes home dressed in a new dress again, dressed up as a lady. And of course, the other person, the husband, is very upset about it. And then he says, "Didn't you... The devil made me buy that dress," he says. And then the other person says, "Well, didn't you tell the devil to get behind me, Satan?" And Flip says, "Yes, I did." And the devil said, "And it looks good from the back, too." Flip, God rest his soul, was quite a character, and he was probably the most difficult passenger I ever had. And I remember every time it was a small ship, 100 people, and every time we would go into port, we were in Beaufort, South Carolina, beautiful town. And he was shopping on those little streets that are there with antiques and all kinds of handmade goods. And I told him and his entourage, "The ship has to leave. The captain has already pulled up anchor. We're ready to go." And he said, "Oh, I know a shortcut back. Don't worry about it. We'll be there on time." "There is no shortcut, Flip. It's 5 blocks back to the ship. There's no taxis. You're going to have to walk. You need to go." "I know a shortcut." Well, sure enough, the captain blew the whistle. The captain was very indignant. He said, "I don't care who he is. We're leaving." And just as the ship is ready to pull up the gangway, Flip and his whole entourage come running across the field, all out of breath, and he comes up onto where I'm standing, onto the ship. And I said, "What's the matter, Flip?" He said, "There was no shortcut." There is no shortcut. I think that's part of what this gospel has to tell us as we begin this first Sunday of Lent. One of my favorite lines from one of my favorite poets and authors, T.S. Eliot, is this: "The last temptation is the greatest treason, to do the right thing for the wrong reasons. To do the right thing for the wrong reasons." When we look at Jesus' ministry, who did he get upset with? The scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day? They were doing all sorts of good stuff, but they were doing it for the wrong reasons. This season becomes for us the opportunity to look within and to see, are we really doing that with a motivation that is going to enable God to be God and us to be human beings dependent upon him? That's the lesson of Adam and Eve, as we heard in the first lesson. I'm not God. There's no shortcut. I got to go through God. God has the power. And we have this in the gospel as well. Jesus led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. This is a significant statement Matthew is making. Led by the Spirit to be tempted. Didn't we just pray, lead us not into temptation? Don't we say that in the Our Father? Well, it's really a bad translation. It's really, save us in the time of trial. Because if Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted, there has to be something redeemable about that temptation. There has to be something that God can use to make it for good. And the point is this. The only way that we will grow is if we are given the opportunities to say yes to God. And so Jesus has these three shortcuts presented to him today. Okay, this is where I want to get. The devil's given him three ways he can get there pretty darn quick. And Jesus has to say no to each one of them. And what happens? In each of those, there is more and more spiritual strength and clarification about the way God would have us go about our mission, just like Jesus, as we go forward. You know, I was talking to Mike the other day. He had a knee replacement. We were talking about his rehab. And we were saying, you know, there's only so much that you can do, but you got to do that. You got to do what it's going to take because it's a process. Just like if you're in weight training. You know, you have to do a little bit more when the time is right so that you stretch those muscles so that they can grow and you can continue to develop along the way. Well, the spiritual journey is the same for us. We need to look at these temptations as a compliment. It is a compliment because the devil thinks that we are strong enough on a path going towards God in the right direction that he wants to stop it. So take it as a compliment. Thank you very much. And yes, I am going to choose God in this situation, not you. And so when we do that, it clarifies us, it strengthens us, and it enables us to continue further and further on the journey. Think of what this gospel entails. After he was baptized by John, it starts. Remember he was baptized by John? The voice from heaven said, "You are my beloved son." He gets this confirmation about the ministry he's about to embark upon. It's just like that mountaintop experience we talked about last week with the transfiguration. And where is he now? Well, metaphorically, he's back down in the valley. Because that experience that he had of affirmation is one that Jesus can recall now so that when the devil tries to get him to make these shortcuts, he can say, "No, I know my Father. I'm in touch with my Father. And this is the way he wants me to go about it. So thank you very much. Move on." It's that way for us too. We are given these opportunities so that we can say yes to God and move further and further on our journey. I remember hearing the story of these guys that are mountain climbing, and they're way up high, and they see this guy who's in the logging industry, and he's up there scouting trees to chop down, and the hikers say to him, "Why are you getting trees from way up here? You got to carry them all the way down." And he says, "Well, it's very simple. The climate is rougher here, and therefore the trees that are here are the toughest and the strongest, and those are the trees I want." The trials, the tribulations we go through. God doesn't do that. God doesn't cause that. But God allows that to happen so that we have the opportunity to say yes. The temptations in our lives, if we can look at those opportunities for growth idea, can make a huge difference for us. And I want to leave you with one practical challenge for this Lenten season. You know, in each of those temptations, that the shortcuts that the devil offers to Jesus, Jesus has a line of scripture that he is able, on the top of his head, to point out to the devil to sort of give him strength and to counter that temptation. Now, I'm not about to suggest that we all become Bible-thumping fundamentalists here, but Lent is a time for us to delve a little more into the Scripture. And I would encourage you, as you're listening and reading and praying and in your Scripture study and in your small groups this Lent, look for a phrase that might be a life verse for you. Look for something that is going to be, for you personally, something that wherever you are in your journey right now, that's going to be something that you can recall to your mind and heart that will give you strength in the hour of need. For me, the letter to the Hebrews, we say it sometimes in our Lenten observance, he was tempted in every way that we are, yet never sinned. When those temptations come my way, whatever they might be, I bring that line to my mind. Jesus, you were tempted in every way that I am right now, but you didn't sin. So I can place my hope and my trust and my confidence in you right now to pull me through this. Don't let me become cynical. Don't let me take the shortcut. Don't let me do that which seems like a solution right now, but it really isn't the answer. Let me do it your way. See if you can find that life verse for yourself. Because this opportunity for growth that is presented to us is an incredible one. And when we continue to answer his call, whether it's in the wilderness of right here in Boynton Beach or in the Dominican Republic as these people are preparing to go on mission, wherever we are, we have that opportunity for growth that he offers to us. And when we answer yes, then we truly can say, Happy Lent. Amen.